And so in preparation of today's message, I was reflecting on the state of my being when God found me. And so I want to ask you, do you remember the moment when God found you? Do you remember your first encounter with Him, when you first encountered His welcoming home into your life? Or perhaps you've never encountered God and are wondering if He would ever welcome you. Then I pray that you will encounter God's grace and love available to you through Jesus Christ today. And there is a song that is written about this passage that I want to read. And the lyrics go like this. The only time I ever saw Him run was when He ran to me. He took me in His arms, held my head to His chest, said, "My son's come home again." Lifted my face, wiped the tears from my eyes. With forgiveness in His voice, He said, "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise when God ran. The day I left home, I knew I'd broken His heart, and I wondered if things could ever be the same. Then one night, I remembered His love for me, and down that dusty road ahead I could see. It was the only time I ever saw Him run. "Son, do you know I still love you?" He caught me by surprise, and He brought me to my knees when God ran. I saw Him run to me. I was ashamed, all alone, and so far away. But now I know that He's been waiting for this day. And so this is my story of how God found me and welcomed me home and brought a life that was in chaos into order. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for Your love and Your grace that is available to us through Christ Jesus. Holy Spirit, I just ask You that in this moment that You would just awaken our hearts towards You. That we would understand what it means to be found by You. What it means for our lives and how that changes us, how we live. And Father, I just pray for anyone that has any doubt of whether You will welcome them. Then I pray that today, Holy Spirit, You will speak to their heart and let them know that there is space for them and that You will welcome them home. And if there is anyone here today that feels that their life is too out of chaos for there to be order, that You are a God who brings order and that You will bring order into their lives. And so, Father, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so I'm going to share a little bit of the backdrop to my story. And so I'm the son of immigrant parents. My parents belong to the fortunate ones that they left their home country of El Salvador. So for those who are wondering, I'm not Mexican. I am from El Salvador. And before El Salvador descended into civil war, and within 13 years, 75,000 people had died. And so they decided to immigrate to the United States, where me and my sister were born. It wasn't easy as they had to adapt learning a new language and culture, but they made it work. However, life came with its struggles. Before I was born, my dad suffered a brain aneurysm and lost the whole right side of his body movement, affecting his emotional and speech capacity, leaving him unable to work. His physical presence, but emotional and mental absence from my life was something I would have to wrestle through my whole life, knowing that he was physically there, but he struggled mentally and emotionally to connect with me. My mom would work from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m., as she now had to be the one to provide for our family. And I remember every morning she would wake up at 5 a.m. and she would just put her head on me and my sister's head and just begin to pray for us. And I remember being annoyed at her because it's 5 a.m. and being a kid, you just want to sleep. And I'm like, "What are you doing?" She's like, "Shh, just go to sleep, mijo. I'm going to pray for you." And I was like, okay. Eventually I got used to it. But that was just her habit of just, before going to work, she would just lay hands on us and pray for us. And so she was a spiritual leader in our house. As my father had no interest in God because he grew up in a very religious home. Religious to the point that if he looked at a theater, at a cinema, his parents would hit him and be like, "No, that's of the devil." And so he became angry at God And even more so, his anger grew towards God because of his brain aneurysm and how it handicapped him. And so English became my first language growing up in the U.S., and Spanish faded. And with that came the loss of communication with my parents, who mostly spoke Spanish, a little bit of English, but with a heavy accent. And I couldn't express myself fully in their language, and they couldn't express themselves fully in my new language. Being an immigrant and of brown skin, it was easy to feel out of place. Being looked down upon and belittled, I began resenting being Latino and my brown skin. And I remember one day being in the shower, just trying to rub off. I was a bit dark on my legs because I play soccer. And I remember just rubbing, thinking, oh man, maybe I can make myself a little bit lighter, because I was so uncomfortable with my skin. And then I entered my second year of high school. I was 16 years old when betrayal and bullying of my friends led me toward a downward spiral of depression and anxiety. They had started gossiping about me and spreading a rumor that wasn't true, but that didn't matter. For someone that was already struggling with their identity and shyness, this became for me my hell on earth. For about a year, I would walk into class and others would tease me. They would make jokes. I would walk into class and I would just see or hear them whispering and then looking at me. And you have no idea what that does to a kid at such a young age who is still figuring out their identity. It just destroyed me. And in the process, I had lost my friends. I felt betrayed and abandoned by them. Feeling out of place, I sought to belong. That desire to belong led me to unhealthy, unwise friendships. Thankfully, I never committed to these friendships to do the things that they were doing, at least never fully. A few years later, some of these friends were being kicked out of their house, having drug, mental breakdowns, and struggling with alcohol. But the next 2 years of high school were the worst 2 years of my life. It completely destroyed my joy, confidence, identity, worth, and created me a paranoia that there were people always making fun of me behind my back. So I would go to sleep at night, dreading the next day of having to go to school. And I lived my life in depression, hopelessness, and loneliness. And one night I hit a breaking point, and I was crying myself to sleep. And I believe perhaps that was the first time I ever prayed to God and cried out to Him. But in that moment as well, there was a thought that I now know came from the enemy. And the thought was that it would be better to be dead than to be alive. And that thought was just implanted in me, that it would be better to be dead than to be alive. At 16 years old, I had that thought, that I wanted my life to end. I had the desire to escape that made me desire death over life. And I kept it a secret. Neither my family nor friends knew what I was going through. I hid it quite well and found temporary happiness through sports. But it was around this time that my mom made me go to a church youth retreat. And so church for me had created an escape, because I had friends there that didn't know anything about my school life. They didn't know anything that was happening. So it kind of created an escape for me. However, these church friends were not the greatest influence. Porn, stealing, alcohol, and drugs were first introduced to me at church by my church friends. And just a side note of that, I think sometimes we expect that because parents are Christian that the kids are. And that's really what it was. It was just kids that were going to church because their parents, and they were coming from hard upbringings as myself. But these were the things I was encountering in my life with them. The one time I decided to do drugs with them was a complete fail. And I praise God for that. We were hanging out. I think it was a church event. And we were out. And one of the guys says, hey, I got some drugs. Let's go to the bathroom and take them. And so I took it and I put it in my mouth, and we're walking, and as we're talking, I accidentally spit it out. And so the whole night he's going, yo, are you tripping out? And I'm like, yeah, I see it. But I wasn't feeling anything. And then the next day at church, he's like, yo, I saw this, my roof just moving. It was so crazy. And I was like, yeah, I saw the same thing. But fortunately enough, that pill just popped out of my mouth. I think it was just God just going, nope. But during that first night of that youth retreat, I felt uncomfortable by the presence in the room, yet drawn into it at the same time. Because it was a welcoming presence, but the unfamiliarity of it made me feel scared of it. And so I sat in the back with all my friends who had no interest in God as we were mostly checking out the girls in the back, in the front. That's why, as guys, we sat in the back because then we could see who all the girls were. And so the second night, the presence in the room was becoming irresistible. And I had this urgency to just want to join everyone in worship. However, I thought about what my friends would think if I engage in worship. But by the third night, one of our guy friends, who we thought he was the one that introduced us to porn, he's the one guy that we should have kept away with, that introduced us to everything. The one guy that we thought, there's no way that God's going to speak into his life if there is one of us. And suddenly, I'm sitting down at church, it's the worship, and I have my head down, and suddenly in the corner of my eye, I just see him like this. And I'm like, what is happening here? And I was taken back by it. And that same night, one of my friends who wasn't Christian, he comes up to me and he says, yo, I have a vision for you. And I was like, what are you talking about? He said, I saw your life. I saw you living a destructive life. And I was so confused by it. And I said, all right, cool. You're weird now. And so we arrived to the last day of the retreat. And I sat away from most of my friends during worship. And the presence was irresistible and drawing me in. I just didn't know what to do or how to respond. I was scared as well. I didn't know what it would mean to respond to this presence. But at that moment, the pastor gave a response call. And he simply said, if you want to know God, lift up your hands. And it was at that moment that I decided to lift up my hands. And that presence that I had been sensing the whole weekend overwhelmed me as I lifted up my hands. I broke down crying uncontrollably. I could sense God's love being poured out over me. And in that moment, the confidence, the identity, the worth, and joy that had been stolen from me, God had restored and healed. The encounter of His love, His presence, changed my life. I heard a voice in my spirit that day say that I had lived my life for myself and that it was now time to live for Him. And because I grew up in a somewhat Christian home, I kind of knew what I needed to do with my life. And so that day, the first thing I did when I got home, I threw all the drugs that I just really had a pack of weed and threw it away. And then I had my Eminem CDs and I said, no more Slim Shady in my life. Threw them all out, all the CDs, because I knew that my life had to change. And so there is a verse that is close to my heart, Psalm 63, verses 2 through 4. And it says, I have seen your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. You see, the enemy had whispered into my life that it would be better to be dead than to be alive, but God's love found me and gave me a love that was better than life. He found me in my sin, hurt, and brokenness and loved me to a new life. My pain and my hurt and sin did not keep God away from me. Instead, He entered into it and brought a life that was in order into chaos. And that is who God is. He steps into the sin and hurt and brokenness and suffering of our world, and He brings chaos into order. And so now I read the psalm differently. I have it posted on my wall. And I read it as, I once thought that it would be better to be dead than alive, But now your love is better than life. I will praise you as long as I live, and your name I will, and in your name I will lift up my hands. And so now my life is just as simply a response to his love. That's just it. That's when God found me. And that moment of encountering him, of encountering his love, changed me forever. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. My life, I no longer see it as my own. I see it as his. Having encountered the beauty of God's love and grace available in Jesus Christ transformed my life. I don't know how to live my life any other way except for him. That was 19 years ago for me, since that first encounter when God found me. And I can tell you, I still love him with all my heart and soul and strength. And so let me ask you, do you remember when God found you? Do you remember your first encounter with him and what and how that was? There's a photo that I keep near my desk. I don't know if we have it. Do we have it? Success. All right. So this postcard, I got this postcard when I was backpacking through Europe in the Netherlands. It portrays the story of the prodigal son in the father's arm as he's returned home. And so occasionally I'll look at this postcard and it reminds me of when God found me, how he found me, why he found me, what it cost him, and how he restored me. I can tell you that God found me in my sin, brokenness, and hurt. I can tell you that God found me because he loves me. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God found me at the cost of his own son laying down his life for me. God restored me through his son, Jesus Christ, to have eternal life and have a right relationship with him. He is my father and I am his son. And so I look at this photo, and every time I look at it, well, most of the time, and I just meditate upon it, a deep sorrow and joy enters my heart. Because I look at it and I'm like, I'm that man. But at 16 years old, I was that man, lonely and depressed, hurt. And he welcomed me home. He entered into my pain and into my suffering, and he welcomed me home. I think sometimes we're afraid how God will handle the hurts and pains that we have, or even our sins in our lives, if they will be too much for him. And so I look at that photo, and it just simply reminds me of when he found me, how he found me, why he found me, and what it cost him, and how he restored me into being his son. And so when I meditate deeply on these things, whether it be in prayer, worship, or on a walk, or on the MTR, the Holy Spirit begins to stir my heart. And God's love for me overwhelms me, and my love for him is deepened. And so this is something that I now practice in my daily life. I just meditate on what it means to be found by him. And it doesn't matter where I'm at. I've been crying on the MTR just because suddenly I was worshiping and I started thinking about how he found me, and suddenly I'm in the MTR crying. Or on a walk home. It doesn't really matter. In the shower, who cares? He finds us. And I think sometimes we forget, though. We forget how he found us and what that means for our lives. You know, when me and my wife on our wedding day, I remember her walking down the aisle, and I remember just seeing her, and then suddenly I was biting my lips because I did not want to cry. I did not want to cry because I didn't know if I would recover from the cry. But even then, even now, I think about that and it brings me joy. I look at her and I begin to think about how much I love her and it brings me joy. It stirs up a passion for her. And then some days when she's on call, I'll go to our wedding video and I'll just play it and begin to cry and be like, oh my gosh, I just love her so much. I think sometimes we're afraid to get that intimate with God because he's safer here when we reason him as our God, rather having that deep intimacy with him. That if my father walked into this room, that's what I feel like when I walk into the presence of God. I can't help it anymore. You know, as the worship team was playing, I was like, and they were playing Goodness of God. That's one of my favorites. So I was like, no, I'm about to cry. Because the Holy Spirit deepens our love for God. And when that happens, God's love for us overwhelms us and our love for him is deepened. But also another thing happens. God's love for people begins to shape our hearts for people as well. I like this quote by Tim Keller, and I changed it just a little bit. That when the Spirit enables us to understand what God has done for us through Jesus Christ, the result is a life poured out. You see, in those moments when I'm thinking about my wife and just how much I love her, all I want to think about, how can I serve her? How can I love her? And in the same way, when the Holy Spirit begins to enable us to understand what Christ has done for us, then the only response is to live our life poured out for him. Not because we have to, but because we get to, because we're completely in love with him. John 3:16, verses 16 through 17, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." And this is a passage that is so rich in content, but I just want to focus on one part of this passage. And it's the missional heart of God. And the biblical truth is that God engages our world by entering it, by becoming like Jesus, by living with us, and by experiencing the pain, the suffering, and injustice of a broken, hurting, and sinful world in Jesus Christ. Christ was rejected. He was betrayed. He suffered. He was wrongly convicted, injustice, by a system that was out to get him. You see, God had, through Christ, has experienced the pain, the suffering, and the injustice of a broken, hurting, sinful world. So what does that mean for our lives? What are the implications that God engages our world? Well, we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand that God engaged in our own pain, hurt, suffering, and sin. Think about that deeply. Think about that moment when God found you. And he, in that moment, he was engaging in your brokenness, in your hurt, in your suffering, and in your sin. And we need the Holy Spirit to enable us to engage in the pain and suffering and injustice of a broken, hurting, and sinful world. That because he engaged in my sin, in my brokenness, and in my hurting, I therefore am enabled to engage in the sin and brokenness and hurting of this world. And so I realize I'm going to finish earlier than I thought. But I don't think most church people complain about ending early. And so right here it says to know him, to be like him, and to make him known. But we can't make him known if we are not willing to engage and enter into other people's chaos. And we are not willing to engage and enter into other people's chaos until we've allowed the Holy Spirit to enable us to understand that God engaged our own pain, hurt, suffering, and sin. You see, everything begins with knowing him. When we know him and are transformed by him, then being like him flows out of knowing him. Making him knows flows out of knowing him. It's not, oh, I know him, now it's time to be like him, and now I got to make him known. No, these things are continually at work, shaping us and molding us in our lives. You see, that one moment when God found me, it shaped me and it completely changed my life. But God's love is like a deep well that does not run out. I can go back to it, and every single time I'm going to be amazed and transformed by his love. And that's why we need to continue to go to it, to continue to be transformed and shaped by his love. And so some of the things that I've talked about this morning are easy to capitalize here. But it's about getting it to here, to our hearts. And one of my professors would always say, and I was annoyed because I never understood what he meant. He's more like a philosophy professor, and he'd always just sit, put his foot on the table, and he'd be like, the journey to the head, the longest journey to the head is, oh my gosh, I'm going to kill this school. The longest journey we make is from the head to the heart. And I'd be, what do you mean by that? I'm like, what does it mean? Is that when we, it's understanding the truths that we know about Jesus Christ here and arriving here in our hearts and understanding that it is not a moment, but it's a lifetime of moments with him. That's why it's relationship with God. And so I remember when me and my wife, I think it was right before we were dating, and I was more of a reasoning person because of my, I just always thought, oh, you can't trust your emotions. I was always negative about emotions. So I'd recommend that you take emotionally healthy spirituality. There you go. You're welcome, Andrew. And so. When I thought about us, even though I was emotional about it, I wouldn't allow myself to go deeper, though. I always stopped myself because I was always about reasoning about, okay, these are the reasons of why I love her. These are the reasons of why it could possibly work out. And even for a while, I didn't tell her. I was like, no, let's not tell each other that we love each other. Let's just wait until the emotions are gone and so forth. And so I think she struggled with me a little bit because I was more here, but she was more here. And so one day we're sitting at a restaurant, and then we start talking, and she goes, I know you know that you love me, but do you feel that you love me? I'm like, what are you talking about? It's the same thing. I know that I love you. I love you. And now I understand what she was trying to get me. She was trying to get me to a place that I was afraid to go. Because here I could keep it in check, but here, allowing here, was something deeper and greater. A deeper intimacy with her. And I was afraid of that. Because I was still struggling with my commitment. And so, with that, are you afraid to go from here to here with God in your life? That you understand how he found you, when he found you, what it cost him to find you, and what he's done for you, but you're afraid to really allow him to go here. That like me, when I was 16 years old, afraid of the presence of God, you're afraid of going deeper with him. And so I want to invite the worship team to come up. And I want to invite you to close your eyes. and ask the Holy Spirit, I want to make the journey from the head to the heart. I don't just want to know things about you, but I want to know you deeply. I want to be in love with you. That you want to feel what it means for God to engage your sin, your hurt, and your brokenness in your life. And what that means to engage in the sin and brokenness of others as well. And so as I was praying, I felt that there was three people in mind that God really wanted to reach out to today. And the first one is for those that have known what it means to be found by God, but your relationship with God has gone cold, but you want to be in love with Him once again. And for you, I want to tell you that there is much more of God available than you have ever known or imagined. Maybe you thought that the moment He found you was the best it was ever going to be with Him. I could tell you that there's much more than you have ever dreamed or imagined, that His love runs deep and it does not run dry. That you can continue to go and continue to be completely amazed by His love. And the second person is perhaps you have known the truth of being found by God, but are afraid of a relationship with God, and so religion with God is easier for you. To you, I just want to say, God desires relationship with you. He desires intimacy with you. And then lastly, perhaps you have never known what it means to be found by God. You've never had that encounter with God, and maybe this morning you feel there's a presence drawing you in. Or perhaps you're thinking, the chaos of your life, the pain, the hurt, and the sin in your life is too great for God. Then I want to invite you to encounter the beauty of God's love and grace available to you in Jesus Christ. Why don't we stand up? Now, just as the worship team just plays the instruments, we just want to invite the Holy Spirit to move in this place and just simply wait on Him. Holy Spirit, we wait on You to enable our hearts to understand what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. What that now means for our lives and our relationship with You. Thank you. just continue to wait. Right now, I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit, just be Holy Spirit, bring me back to that moment of when God found me. The thoughts, the emotions, everything I was going through, bring to me that moment. Heart and desire this morning is deeper relationship with God. Just raise your hand and I just want to pray for you. Don't be afraid of this moment, of His presence, of what He wants to do in your life. Spirit, move in the lives of those that have lifted up their hands and they're saying, God, I want more of you. That love that I had for you when you found me, I want more of that. And I want deeper and greater things in my relationship, in my intimacy with you. Help me to make that journey from the head to the heart. And to feel your embrace. Father, I pray for the person who is feeling hopeless and feels that their chaos is too much and too great. Father, welcome them home. Speak life into their chaos. Bring order into their chaos.
I could let you down, never give up. Lord, you're so patient. And if I run back home, God, you come running. Your love never changes. Lord, you're so gracious. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. You have found me. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. You have found me. I could let you changes. Lord, you're so patient. And if I run back home, God, you come running. Your love never changes. Lord, you're so gracious. With a kiss, with a ring and a robe, you have found me. You have found me.
Come home, he's calling.
calling. Come back home, I can hear you calling. Come back home.
I pray that you will draw closer to God in relationship with Him. And that as He has encountered your brokenness, your hurt, and your sin, that you would be then empowered by His Spirit to enter into the pain and suffering of a hurting world. Yes, Father, we thank you that you found us. You welcomed us home. And you restored us and made us your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a reminder at the end of service in the sanctuary, if you would like to receive prayer or experience or experiencing any sort of physical pain or infirmity, feel free to come up to the front and our well ministry team would be more than happy to pray for you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and to be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom from this day forward. Amen. God bless.